All right, if you have a Bible, open to Luke chapter 2. We just want to spend a few moments in God's Word tonight. And here at Redeemer Church, we've actually been in a series this Christmas time looking at well-known Christmas songs. We just sung a few of them tonight, and we'll close with one as well. But we kind of wanted to drill down into kind of the origin stories of some of the famous Christmas hymns that we sing around this time of year. We looked at O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and last Sunday was Joy to the World, and it's just amazing how these songs came together and became part of really the story of singing of songs at Christmas time that are so rich and about Jesus. Tonight, we're going to look at the song that we're going to close with, which is O Holy Night. So we're going to finish our series tonight with O Holy Night, and kids, we're going to light candles, I promise you, just at the end of this, so hang in there. We're so glad that you're here, but I want to look again at Luke chapter 2, verse 6, because this is where this song, O Holy Night, comes from. So let's look at it one more time together. It says, when they were there, Joseph and Mary, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, Luke 2 captures certainly a holy night. This was a holy night, a night that was unique and distinct from any other night. It was a different kind of night because it was the night that the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, took on human nature and was born to us. Now, we know that Jesus himself as God is holy, but so was that night because of that definition of holiness that is separate, that is the differentness that's included, separated out is included in the definition of holiness. And no other night before or to come would be like this night. Again, this was the night that the history of the world changed because Jesus Christ came to save the world with his life and his death on a cross and his resurrection. And what's interesting about the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, is how I was thinking about this, how it sits at such an incredible intersection. And I hope we can still use that word, still use that idea, because so much crashes together in just what we read. I don't know if you noticed that, but so much crashes together at the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ sits at the center of so many things going on. Think about it. You have in this story shepherds who are the low, the working class, the humble, and then you have angels who are these brilliant heavenly beings, and then you have this normal and unknown young woman and this young man from out of town, but then later you're going to have these wise men that come from the east with amazing gifts. You have this throne in heaven that was left in order to be born in a manger of straw. You have shepherds who worship Jesus Christ, and then King Herod who wanted to kill Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, all of this crashes together in this little Hebrew town that is tucked in a country surrounded by Gentile nations at the heart of a world that has historically been found in conflict. Just think about where Bethlehem is. Bethlehem in Judea is surrounded by the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Greek and Roman empires who have battled it out around them for millennia. And in the middle of this washing machine of the clashes of empires and the classes of people and angels and men and worship and murder, born unto us in the city of David is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? Think about how the birth of Christ cuts through it all. And it enters into the very center of all of these paths crashing together. And the birth of Christ sits at the center of all of these things with hope and an invitation. Hope and an invitation. And it's kind of like the song, O Holy Night. That's our song of interest tonight. And I'll tell you the story, and this is according to author Ace Collins. O Holy Night began in France, yet it eventually made its way around the world. Collins writes, in 1847, Placide Capot was known more for his poetry than his church attendance. So it probably shocked him when his parish priest asked him to pen a poem for Christmas Mass. So in a dusty coach traveling down a bumpy road to France's capital city, Capot considered the priest's request. The poem obviously had to be religious and focus on Christmas and be based on scripture. So using the Gospel of Luke as his guide, Capot imagined himself witnessing the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Thoughts of being present on that blessed night inspired him. By the time he arrived in Paris, the poem Cantique de Noël had been completed. And then, moved by his own work, Capot determined that his Cantique de Noël was not just a poem, but a song in need of a master musician's hand and melody. He was not musically inclined himself, so the poet turned to one of his friends, Adolphe Charles Adams, for help. Now, Adams was born in 1803. He was 5 years older than Capot, and he was a classical musician and was intrigued by the beauty of the lyrics that were given to him. However, as a man of Jewish ancestry, these words represented a holiday that he did not celebrate and a child that he did not view as the Son of God. Nevertheless, he was moved by more than friendship, and he quickly and diligently went to work attempting to marry an original score to Capot's beautiful words. His finished work pleased both the poet and the priest, and it was performed just 3 weeks later in 1847 at the midnight mass on Christmas Eve. Now, initially, Cantique de Noël was wholeheartedly accepted by the church in France, and the song quickly found its way into various Catholic Christmas services. But then Capot walked away from the church and walked away from his faith. And when the church leaders discovered that Adams was a Jew, the song, which had quickly grown to be one of the most beloved Christmas songs in France, was suddenly and uniformly denounced by the church. The heads of the French Catholic Church at the time deemed Cantique de Noël as unfit for church services. And yet, even as the church tried to bury the Christmas song, the French people continued to sing it, and a decade later, it crossed the pond, and an American writer brought it to a whole new audience halfway around the world. Stick with me now as we go across the pond. Born in May 13, 1813, a Bostonian named John Sullivan Dwight was a graduate of Harvard College of Divinity, and he became a Unitarian minister in Northampton, Massachusetts. But for inexplicable reasons, he grew physically ill each time he had to address the congregation. They say that he was experiencing panic attacks, that fear of speaking in public. And though he was a minister, he was never able for the rest of his life to stand in front of people to speak. And so he pivoted. He was an accomplished writer, and he used his skills to found Dwight's Journal of Music. One year, as America became more divided because of slavery, Dwight found and read Cantique de Noël in French. And as an abolitionist in the North, Dwight loved the emphasis on brotherhood and the promise of Christ to break chains and break down dividing walls because of his love. Dwight translated the song into English and adapted it and introduced O Holy Night to America, where it became a beloved song throughout the Civil War and for decades beyond. Let me just mention one more bit of interesting history about our song on Christmas Eve 1906, fast forward. Reginald Fessenden, a 33-year-old university professor in Pittsburgh and former chief chemist for Thomas Edison, did something long thought impossible. Using a new type of generator, Fessenden spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a man's voice was broadcast over the airwaves. And this is what he said. He said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And in a clear, strong voice, he read from Luke chapter 2. Shocked radio operators on ships and astonished wireless owners at newspapers sat slack-jawed as their normal coded impulses heard over tiny speakers were interrupted by a professor reading from the Gospel of Luke. To the few who caught this broadcast, it must have seemed like a miracle, hearing a voice somehow turned into electrical waves and transmitted so many miles away. And after his recitation of the birth of Christ, Fessenden picked up his violin and played O Holy Night, making O Holy Night the first song ever played on the airwaves." Pretty interesting, isn't it? But what's interesting to me, and I thank Ace Collins for this story, but this song that so beautifully highlights the birth of Christ, it to me, as I read through this history, it similarly sits at the center of all these paths that crash together at this intersection. You have the paths of a young man who went to church and then walked away from church, and a Jewish man who wrote the tune but didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. You have the themes of censorship and canceling that meet with rebellion and the wildfire spread of a song, and then it crosses the ocean and meant so many at the beginning of the Civil War. Different nations, different religions, our divided country, slavery, and even radio technology all crisscross with O Holy Night at the center. A song that celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, who once again always enters into the very center with hope and with an invitation. You see, the good news of Jesus Christ at Christmas is that no matter what is intersecting in the world, no matter what is crashing together in your life tonight, maybe it's joys and sorrows, laughter and tears, success or maybe failure this year, all of the paths of your life that are your work and your family and your neighborhood and the country that we live in at the end of 2022. I wonder, what is crashing together in your life tonight? What are all of the things that find their way in your story and into your soul? You see, the good news of Jesus Christ at Christmas is that Jesus is willing to enter into the center of your very world, into the heart of all that clashes together in our lives, with a message of hope. Hope because Jesus came to fix what was broken. Long lay a world in sin and error pining, till he appeared, right? That's the thrill of hope. Because someone has come who can make right all that's wrong in us and around us. And all that's wrong in us and around us is wrong because of sin, because of our rebellion toward God, because of our desire to turn from God and run from God. And then the consequences of that spread out into every area of our lives and every part of the universe that God has created. And yet the thrill of hope is that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into the very center of all that's wrong with a message of hope, because he's come to redeem and to fix and to save. That's why Jesus came. That's what he came, to redeem what's broken. That's what redeemers do. That's what saviors do. He came to save us from our sin. Look, the birth of Jesus Christ came to the center of a world crashing together that one holy night when he was born. And O Holy Night is a song that evolved in a world that seemed to be crashing together with lots of different inputs. And certainly there are a number of things crashing together in every one of our lives. I just wonder if you will see Jesus tonight, the Savior born unto us with all the hope that he brings and can give to you. He comes with hope and an invitation, because you must respond to Jesus. Even in the song, fall on your knees is the invitation and the instruction to the Son of God who has come to bring light and life and hope to all of us. Look, our inner bent is to reject him and to go it alone. But Jesus Christ came into this world demanding a response from us because of his great love for us. He was not only born, but he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins, but we must trust him. We must receive the salvation that he offers. There's a fall on your knees moment for every person that has come to Christ and accepted him as their Savior and their Lord. Look, you and I were created for life and for joy. We were created with purpose and meaning for our lives. And all of this will only be found in and through Jesus Christ if you will only respond to him. And I hope that you will. Tonight, even in this place, we'll close with this beautiful song that has become such a favorite to so many. And yet embedded into the song are these things, right? Christ who brings hope. Hope to know that your life can actually be transformed and different than it is. At what point do we get so sick and tired of trying to make it on our own? And instead recognize our need for God, for the Son of God who loves us and came for us. Look, if you feel unseen tonight, Jesus sees you. If you feel rejected tonight, Jesus will accept you. If you feel unloved, look, there is one who loves you and came and died for you. If you feel useless, there is one who has a plan for you. If you feel unworthy because of your sin, there is one who can forgive you. If you are hurting tonight, there is a Savior who can heal you. And I pray that just that spark of hope that's found in Christ would hit your heart tonight. And I also pray that you would respond to his invitation to come to him and to find life and to find joy. And not just in the remaining breaths that we have in this world, but Jesus came to bring eternal life. Take us one day to a new heavens and a new earth where there'll be no more sin and no more sorrow and no more pain. Look, that's thrilling, isn't it? This is why Jesus came. Christianity is all about Jesus. If you don't hear anything else, Christians tend to make Christianity about a lot of things. But Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth. It's so powerful and important that he came. So thank you for coming tonight. My prayer is that you will see in Christ hope and that you will respond to an invitation to come to him and find salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we can gather tonight and in the midst of the hustle and bustle of this season and all that goes on with the seeing of friends and family and the feasts and the Christmas presents and the scurrying about and all that'll take place even as we leave here tonight and get ready for tomorrow morning, special morning that it is. Jesus, we just thank you that we can pause tonight to consider you and your birth. The mind-blowing reality that you, as the Son of God, would come and take on flesh to take on a human nature in order to save us from our sin, to rescue us, not just one day in a place called heaven that we all look forward to, going to, but even now, we've come to make your blessings in our lives now known far as the curse is found, in every crack and crevice of who we are. So Lord, I just pray that you would fill our hearts with hope tonight, that no matter what's going on in us and around us, there's one who is powerful and able to change us, to help us. Lord, and for any of my friends here tonight who have not yet responded to you and your invitation, Lord, I pray it would be tonight. What a great Christmas Eve this would be. So thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.